Blog Talk Radio.
Just Us Youth Organization is on a mission to help eliminate the term at-risk youth by providing STEM, which means science, technology, engineering, mathematics, and entrepreneurship education through programs that encourage positive social development, increase educational opportunities, and economic security via media outlets. Our innovative TV show, Faith Focus Youth, is based on youth interviewing STEM professionals and business owners in their work environment. By becoming a youth, adult, or business member of the Just Us Youth Organization, you can receive discounted products and services from 33webs.com. Receive free advertising for your business or organization through our many donation options. Sponsor a student e-portfolio that highlights academic achievement and talent, and have your logo displayed on their site as a supporter. As a sponsor, you can be interviewed on Stay Focused Youth TV, and you'll receive recognition and logo placement on our website and social media. We also provide a vehicle safety seminar and workshop, along with How to Extend Your Car Life book. If you would like to help our youth stay focused and inspired to become future leaders in the STEM and entrepreneurship field, or if you would like to purchase a How to Extend Your Car Life book, please contact the founder and president, Mr. Jonathan Smith, at 242-423-6539, at 701-639-0190, or email him at jesustv33@gmail.com. Find out how to get involved with a student e-portfolio today. Please visit our website at www.jes-us.org.
All right, we're here and we are live. The topic tonight is abusive relationship. normally, that's not a topic that I will definitely do, but I just had to fill in tonight for the sister. But I'm going to definitely take on the topic. And what I'm going to do first, before I actually take the topic on, I'm going to play a song that similarly relate to the topic.
One day, I'm going to understand.
Desire,
desire,
now the door
All right, as you see, that song there from Lauryn Hill, they told her to get rid of her child. Just imagine you have a woman that's bearing a life, and she's being told to get rid of it. Is that not abusive? Is that not something where it takes a strain on your mental, your physical, your emotional, your spiritual life? So we have to be very careful on how we talk to people when there's another life involved. You know, and I know there are a lot of women that's going through this. You know, so when a woman is impregnated, the world sometimes look down at her as if she's the enemy, as she has done something wrong, as if it's her who just impregnated herself alone and nobody else. Took no type of play in it. So abusive is really all around the board. It's just not a relationship per se when it's a direct connection between a physical man and a physical woman, but it also a relationship. See, a relationship don't have to be an agreement between two parties. A relationship could be a non-agreement, because once you're engaging, it's still a relationship. Whether you choose involuntary or voluntary engagement, it's still a relationship. So if one as if one tells you as a female, hey, get rid of that child, that's still a relationship, just an ascetic relationship towards your mental as a woman when they have to go to the changes of her life. So I just wanted to play that quick clip on Lauryn Hill, because she went through some very tough times. But, you know, that's one of my favorite singers. Whoa, especially in the 90s, man. I mean, she's still doing her thing. So what I want to do is I really want to play another song, right? Y'all bear with me, from Lauryn Hill, which is now more directly with a female and a male relationship. See, I wanted to start off with just the mental relationship, where people are pounding on her mentality, telling her what is the right thing to do, when she has her own mentality, her own mind, to choose what is right and to choose what is wrong. So that was a mental connection relationship scenario I played when it came down to that first music with Lauryn Hill. Now let's play one that deals with a direct relationship. Of course, it's still mental, but it's more directly connected with another spouse.
Give
Lauryn Hill, the great Lauryn Hill. You know, she is speaking on her relationship, what she was going through. You know, she was speaking on how she is being told, not verbally, but she's being told by the actions that it's not worth it, it's not working out. But yet, when she takes the physical reaction to what she's seeing, physical reaction to her, to step out, that he says, oh, no, baby, don't leave. I don't want you to leave. But yet he says he cares for her, he cares for her, he'll be there for her, there for her. How many of your women, how many of your men go through the same thing? It's not just a one-sided thing. This happens every day. Being physically abused, mentally abused, spiritually abused. And this is one of the songs that I think relate to a lot of people that went through those things. This is why I played that song, and I played the earlier one, Zion, when she was conceiving her child, who named, she ended up naming Zion, and they told her to get rid of it because of her career. How many times you have seen when a young child or even an older person and I'm hovering a child and they say, hey, don't mess up your career, don't mess up your car, don't mess this up. And they physically tell her, hey, sometimes they get beaten. Mentally, definitely, they end up abusing them because they tell them how they're so wrong. They may be calling them the devil, calling them all kinds of different names. Why? Because they feel like the family is being a disgrace. They feel like, you know, they're doing the wrong thing. So why not let's try to see how love works? So what I'm going to do, right, I'm not going to kill tonight on just playing videos, but I want to play one more for a third one because I played two Lauryn Hill, which is a female. Now I want to play a male video, which I want to say, why not let's start to tell people, you know, being positive. Because a lot of times negativity comes in place when this kid come around, they feel like they're expected as abuse. Relationship come around that's not working out, that's being abused, as y'all heard those two songs played. Now I'm going to play something that's not going to be so abusive, but something that is going to try to encourage you, even though the abuse is there, to try to always better yourself.
Black of the best, the sweet of the juice. I face the dark of the flesh, and the deep of the roots. I give my honor to my sister's own welfare. If I can, if don't know, you know what makes me unhappy? When brothers make babies and leave a young mother to be unhappy. And since we all came from a woman, got our name from a woman, and I came from a woman. I wonder why we take from our women, why we rape our women, do we hate our women? I think it's time to kill for our women, time to heal our women. To our women, and if we don't, we'll have a race.
So I'm pretty much going to play with that. I don't want to, you know, saturate too much with the music. But on that one, it's saying keep your head up. And normally, you know, most abusive is the high percentage of women. That's why you see a lot of encouragement towards women, even though men do also go through it as well. So let's not leave the males out. But that one was by Tupac Shakur, talking about keeping your head up. Because there are times that you're going to go that it's going to be rough. Sometimes you want to cut your wrist. Sometimes you want to give up. But you got to keep your head up. And I'm not just directing this towards the female, but I'm also directing this towards the males as well, too. Because they both experience abusive relationships. Even though we know the majority may be perceived to be, say, allegedly females. And normally, you know, the female will be a little more emotional to it. And you do have males as well to that emotionally attached as well. So it can't just only dictate to one sex. It's actually both. But this topic on abusive relationship, you know, it is a very serious thing. Very, very serious. And the reason why it is so serious because it's not just the point of being abusive is also a health issue at the same time. Before I go forward, let me let anyone who may be listening, you can call in at 914-803-4571. That's 914-803-4571. And you can actually log in into the chat and ask your questions or your comments, and it definitely will be acknowledged. Those who are online inside the chat group, you can at any time, you know, press 1, and you'll be acknowledged as well, too. Any comments or any questions, you press 1, you'll be acknowledged. So those who missed the number, what I said is 914-803-4571. So you could be able to be a part of this. Your opinion matters. Everybody has an experience on this. See, abusive don't only mean fast relationship, being physically or mentally abused. It's in all type of relationship. You have people who work has an abusive relationship as well, too. Because you could be at a job with your coworker, and the coworker could be saying things to you that do not to be said. You know, you go to school. You got children, you got your friends, you got your classmates, you know, they say things to you that do not need to be said as well, too. So a relationship really goes all around the board, all around the board. So we have to be very careful on who we let inside our circle, because it's just not only dealing with just saying, well, oh, man, this person was pissing me off, or this person always being mean to me. It's really about your physical human body. Everything outside of you really affects inside of you. So if you let someone to mentally stress you out, because every time you have something that's negative, your cells itself reacts to it. So now your cells become toxic. Now you are diseased. So we have to be very careful and allowing who is inside our circle, because our circle is going to take us to the next level in our future. I've heard a saying, if you want to know where a man or a woman go, look at their friends. If you want to know how far a relationship go, look at who they're dating. Because a lot of times, too, now, you may date someone who looks wonderful. I mean, say the right things, whether it's male or female. Say everything right on point. And then as the relationship continue on, you end up finding out the truth about the person. So we have to try our very best, you know, to be careful, because, of course, it's not a fun thing to be inside a relationship that is so abusive. Now, how do we determine a relationship should we be in? You know, that's one of the things we have to look at as male and females. You know, normally we don't ask certain questions that our past parents, great-grandparents used to ask. Some of the times people used to ask what signs you are. You know, what is your sign? You know, do you like to read books? What type of music you like? Okay, do you go out? Well, who's your family? Where family came from? What's your background? See, the reason why this stuff is so important, I'm not saying that the sign is going to be 100% accurate, but it gives you some type of gauging of idea of what type of characteristic the person have based on if they are following the sign. Now, when you ask them what type of music you like, I'm not saying any of these is accurate either, but it's some type of gauge that you're getting. You know, sometimes people like certain music, but don't mean they're going to act it out. But sometimes you watch what they do to see if they're going to actually act out that music. So you have to be very careful in how you're dealing with the person when you ask them what type of music they like. Now, when you get into reading, ask them, hey, what type of books you like to read? See, to take time out to read a certain book means that's really your interest. Music, I mean, you go to hear a good beat, but that don't mean you're going to follow the actual words. Because most of the times, we don't even know what the words say. We just listen to the nice beat. But once you see someone takes time out to read, right? Because there's no beating, no words, and no tune, no melody in reading. You're just pretty much engaging with the words. If you see they like a lot of drama, meaning cheating going on, abusive going on. Either there are some reason that they're attracted to it. I'm not trying to make a direct stone like, hey, this is the person. But I love to question them on that. You know, why do you like drama so much? What engages you to this drama? What entices you to this drama? Have you had a lot of drama in your life? It's very good to do that too, to ask them questions about their past. Because we all say it's in the past. That is correct. But the past is in your blood. I'm going to say it again. We all say it's in the past. That is correct. But the past is still in your blood. What do that mean? That information from the past is still inside your cells. Because the cells doesn't waste no information. It's still inside you. That all means now that they're going to reincarnate this personification of themselves and live it with you, but it means that the potential or the potentiality of it is still there if the right environment occurs. If the right environment occurs to mature, to allow it to be able to to allow it to be able to show itself. So we have to be very careful on who they are, where they came from, where their parents came from, their culture, on how they brought up. So you got to study these stuff. You got to study the culture, the lingo, the parents. See, because one person might like reggae music, the other person might like soca music, and you're thinking like, okay, you're supposed to like soca music. You're supposed to like it, but that's the culture of it. One person might like or grow up in an environment where hands are being put on the person every day. Their background, that's what they used to. So now, if you don't know that this person always seen hands being put on, whether it's a male or female, now when you engage with them, they may feel that hands being put on is the proper manner on showing love. So you have to look at these things. And we're not saying this is stone cold, it's going to be exactly like this, but these are still perspectives that you could take into account. So we have to study, and I say study the mate or study the relationship you're going to get yourself into. And it don't have to be a relationship as far as you being with someone. It could be a friendship. It could be a partnership. But you have to study them to make sure that you don't fall underneath the wrong hands and being the victim of abusive relationship. Anybody have any questions or any comments? You can always press 1. You can call in at 914-803-4571, or you can leave a message inside the chat box, and we definitely will get to you. All right, let's see here. Question or comment? 4573, your mic is open.
Yes. Peace and love, brother. How are you tonight?
Great, great, sister. Peace and love.
Thank you. I'm just listening to the programming. It's a great topic. Unfortunately, you know, that is what a lot of that goes around. And like you said, you know, you can have abusive relationship in many ways, whether it's, you know, domestic, or it could be job related, or, you know, other relationships. And it's very important to know when you're being abused, so therefore you can, you know, get out of that situation. Unfortunately, a lot of us have learned that behavior, and sometimes we don't even realize we're, you know, being abused. It could be verbally, or like you said, definitely physical, or in other ways, you know, to put someone down, to always be negative, to make them feel less than, you know, than their worth, etc. So I would say the thing is to, you know, to seek help, and don't be ashamed if you're going through that. You know, get some help in any form that you can, so you can, you know, come up out of it, because it's not healthy at all, and it can just definitely stump you in growing and being a productive person. I've you know, witnessed you know, some relatives being abused before, and you know, fortunately they did get out of it quickly before, you know, sometimes it become violent, you know, and lead to murder, et cetera, et cetera. So I would, you know, I told that person that, you know, they are more than that, and you know, and don't stay in it. Because it's not conducive to anyone, not the victim, I'm not the one being victimized, et cetera. And so by the grace of God, they did the relationship go. So I was glad to see that. But I would say to you know, to others who have been abused, to get some help, to seek some help, you know. So that's my opinion at this time. And thank you.
Thank you, Sister. The line, actual line, will always be open just in case you run across something else that you may want to say.
Okay.
What I want to do now is what I want to do now is hit on some points that I see here listed on the show as the tag. And one of the things that, well, I'm going to hit on all of them, but I'm going to try and put it in the perspective I think that it should go into, my personal opinion, and say, know that you're somebody, right? A lot of us don't realize that we are somebody. And because we don't realize that we're somebody, anybody runs over us. I'm going to say it again. A lot of us don't realize that we're somebody. And because we don't realize that somebody, anybody runs over us. There's some people who just treat you any type of way they feel like. As if you don't have feelings. As if you don't belong to the human family. You're just a doormat to be stepped on and stepped over. So we need to start knowing that we're somebody. And in knowing that we're somebody, we have to respect ourselves. And in respecting ourselves, which is the second one, which is respect, and respecting ourselves, we'll have to allow that respect within ourselves, shine with out of ourselves, to gain respect for self. I'm going to say it again. Within respecting ourselves, we respect within ourselves to allow it to shine out of ourselves to gain respect for self so others can see you and know that you're somebody of value. See, respect brings value. Once someone will respect you, they value you. So, and that, one have to gain self-love. Self-love. So you have to have love of oneself. And once you have love of oneself, you'll know how to love others. How could you love somebody else? You don't even know how to love your own self. That's very important. Very important. So, you also never allow no one to treat you bad. Sometimes, like the sister said earlier, that you don't even know when you're in an abusive relationship. So you have to have some type of standard. Some type of standard that when someone comes at you as if you're a doormat to be stepped on, you have to learn how to keep your head up. And once you keep your head up and say, look, I am someone. I am greatness. You're not going to talk to me how you feel like. I'm not your doormat who you just step on, your muddy boots. You just came out of side, man. I'm not no garbage or trash or dirt. And this first you have to say and visualize within you, not without you. You visualize this within you first and make sure embed that inside your DNA. Get that inside you. Allow it to be a part of you. So when you speak, you're speaking of a surety. See, a lot of times, we know when something is going wrong, but we don't allow it to be innate, embedded inside us, in our DNA, that we just speak it out, then a couple of minutes later, we back our depression. But you first have to allow yourself to know that you're someone. You need to be respected, and then the world would recognize it. Very important points that really need to be obtained by one so that way they can carry on further in any relationship that they engage themselves or not engage themselves with. Because your relationship is the relationship whether you engage it or not. Anyone else may have any questions or any comments, you can press 1 and your lines definitely will be open. If you have any questions or comments for the chat, you can always leave a message in there. We definitely will get back with you. You can reach us at 914-803-4571. And I'm going to get into a topic that is very, very important. You know, it is about abusive relationships. But we have to ask ourselves, what's the purpose of a relationship as well, too? See, a lot of us, get into relationship and do not know the purpose of it. We think that the purpose of relationship is to be with somebody, period. That's not true. That's not the purpose of it. The purpose of the relationship is to get to know self. It's to get to know yourself. That's the sole goal of the relationship. And when you get to know, okay, I see there's some questions here. Let me take this here. All right, 9029, your line is open.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Sir. Yes, sir.
Hey, brother, how you doing?
Excellent.
I was just listening to what you were saying a while ago, man. And you know, I totally agree about the self-respect and not letting anyone break you down. And, you know, it's no secret about my background. And when I open up to people, they'll later come back and throw that at me. And what you were saying is something that I do. I let people break me down. I let them break my confidence, which is a form of verbal abuse. I let them allow them to lower my self-esteem, verbal abuse. And you know, I was just sitting there, and I wasn't going to comment, but when you made that comment, I had to beep in. And, you know, for years and years from the things I was doing to myself is now coming back to haunt me through other people. And I'm allowing that because I forget that I'm not that person no more. I'm not that person. But I heard those comments so many times during that time in my life. Now that I hear them again, it reminds me, and you know, and it breaks me down. That's a confidence breaker. When you break my when you tell me something and I allow it to break my confidence, to me, that's verbal abuse. You know, I have the splurge thrown at me all the time. Once an addict, always an addict. That's not necessarily true to me now. It's not necessarily true. I may wear that label addict for the rest of my life, but I'm an addict in recovery. That part of my life is over. The active part is over. But you see, I allow people to use that as a form of verbal abuse, as a weapon, because they have nothing else to throw at me. But today, and I mean just listening to you speak on that, especially about respecting myself, and that's something, and that's all that matters. As long as I respect myself, as long as I boost up my confidence, as long as I keep up my self-esteem, nothing of what somebody else says to me or about me should matter. It shouldn't matter. Yes, it'll hurt my feelings, but I have to remember who I am, just like they have to remember who they are. And a lot of times a person that's verbally or physically abusive has been in an abusive relationship and gotten out of it, and that's the only thing that they know what to do is verbally abuse other people, because hurt people hurt people. If that make any sense. But to me, it makes a lot of sense. But, hello?
Yeah, you're 100% correct, brother, because those who are doing it are actually a victim themselves.
Right.
They're actually a victim themselves. So they just expressing it the best way they could on somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely right. And you know, and for me, I abused myself with the lifestyle that I lived in my past. I abused myself. But at the same time, I was receiving verbal abuse instead of confidence comments. I was receiving verbal abusive comments, and I was letting it keep me stuck where I was at.
I can tell you, brother. Me growing up, like how you say that, you know, from one man to another. When I was younger, I mean, I was called, I mean, some names I wouldn't even repeat. And I really had a low self-esteem as a young child. And I was afraid. The reason why I was afraid, because I wouldn't even know if I'm going to make it in this world. Because I was talked about so bad. I wasn't sure if I was equipped or I was even good enough to be somebody in life. You know what I did? I always was a curious person, right? And I used to always search the scripture, try to learn who God is and try to figure out who he is. And I had to promise myself, I tell myself, I would never again let no one put me down and abuse me. I will always try to equip myself with the ability to stand up for myself. And I made that promise to myself because it's so easily for people to just say one thing to you and you just feel like giving up. You know, life is not easy. It is not easy at all. And sometimes people will tell you, man, just do it. Just get over it. It is not that easy.
It's not that easy.
Life is that easy. Everybody will be a millionaire. Everybody be rich. Everybody would get over everything. There would never be no depressions, no trauma, nothing out there. So life is really a challenge that you yourself have to learn how to overcome. Because I myself had to learn it to overcome. And I'm saying, when I say young age, I'm talking like 7, 8 years old. So I was very young, and I mean, when I started hitting my teens, because you know you're getting out of school then. I'm like, I was scared as hell, man. I said, I don't know how I'm going to, only by the grace of the Creator guiding me, allow me to survive, to move on, to be better. But I also had to be determined. See, it's not only saying the grace of the Creator, but it's yourself being determined in your head to say, you know what? No matter what happens, I'm going to make it happen. There's things that you cannot control. You put that in the Creator hand. And there's things that you could control. You could move forward through the power of the Creator. So we have to start, like I said, embedding this self-love, this self-respect inside us so strong that if anyone come at you, you don't know who you are as a person. Because it's embedded in yourself. That's why you have to love self first. Once you love self first, even if somebody else out there who's a victim, to their own abusive relationship they might have been in, who's trying to express it on you, you know that's not going to bother you because you know they're a victim. People only express what's inside them. People only express what's inside them. So they had to have something installed in them that they hate it, and they trying to express it on you. And it's so sad because, like I said, it happened to me too. But I had to be strong about it. You know, I had to pray about it, and I had to be determined. I had to make up my mind and say, I'm not going to continue with this life no more. I'm going to put myself in the position where I'm going to be respected. But first, I had to respect myself.
Right.
And after I respect myself, the manner, the way how I moved, the way how I talk, the way how I grew myself, people saw it, and then the respect started to grow. See, as soon as you slide away from the respect of self, then you open the door for others to disrespect you. So self-love, self-respect have to be there stronger than ever, and continue growing. Me, myself, I'm not saying I reached to the point that I ain't got to worry about no more. I'm still got to always make sure I love and respect myself continually. That don't stop. You continually get strong in that. Sometimes you do worry. Yes, brother, I do feel like giving up. So as strong as I may be talking on the phone and as sure as I am in my speech on the phone, I still sometimes hit weak points. We are human. We're human beings. We all fall. We all get to a point where we feel like, man, is this worth it? And then what you do, you look at yourself, you look your eye in the mirror if you got to, and say, listen, man, It's not going to over until I win. It's not going to over until I win. I'm going to be the determining factor what's going to happen to my life. Nobody else. I'm going to be the one. And know that you in control with the grace or the power of the Creator inside you. So you have to do it, brother. I encourage you to keep moving forward. Because God knows I had to do it, man. It was hard. I guess I was scared, man. I was really scared. But it is possible. Just how you just coming on talking about it again. Just you acknowledging it again. I know that you have the power and the strength to do it. I know that, brother. You got it inside you. That's why I want to thank you for expressing that, because there's third people out there, you know, who need to hear that, who need to know that there's brothers out here, too, that has been disrespected, has been abused verbally. So it's not just the sisters. There's brothers out there, too, and those out there also could be strong enough to stand up and start to love self and respect self for others to do the same for them. Well, I'm going to go to the next... what they call it, Joe? Okay. Well, I'm going to go more. And anything else you probably want to say, brother, before I continue?
No, you said it all, bro. You said it all.
All right. Thank you. Yes, I wanted to go more into the situation with the relationship, where I was going to say the purpose of the relationship.
Hello, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, great. I've been trying to get in there. I called the show to Sister Rhonda Michelle. I called earlier, and I don't think your show's coming on. So I don't really know the topic of the show, but I've been listening for the past 25 minutes. I'm assuming it's about abusive situations, people being in battered or abusive situations.
Yes, yes, sister. Yes, that's what it is.
Okay, yeah, I've been trying. Like I said, I've been holding on, and I was like, I called in earlier. I'm like, what happened to my girl, Sister Phyllis? And then I hear it's you, so I've been pushing the button. I'm like,
yeah.
But you made some very good points, Brother Jesse. So that is the topic of about people being abused and things like that, and I have been in one myself. But I have to tell you this, too. Sometimes, you know, and I just want to say this, too. Sometimes there are even people that have been in an abusive relationship or that have abused themselves, you know, so much that they beat their own self up so much. Sometimes if they don't go get help for it, they don't realize that they are actually still being abusive verbally to other people, you know. And I just wanted to, because I heard Brother James came on and talk, you know, a little bit about his situation and stuff, too. But sometimes it can also help to seek yourself some type of help to say that, you know what, am I that type of person, too, that I can be verbally abusive to people and not realize it until maybe a day or two later, you know. And I'm only talking from experience, you know, because I've been in an abusive marriage, and I was in that marriage for 15 years. And it took only the grace of God for me to get out of it, because it was at the point where I just fell on my knees one night and in my bathroom, and I said, God, okay, take me to heaven. I'm ready, Lord. I'm ready to go, because I can't deal with this anymore. I've lost 3 babies in this marriage. I've had 3 miscarriages. This man made me have an abortion. You know, when he comes in the house, if he just feels he's in a bad mood or whatever the case may be, you know, I'm the one that's getting the butt whooping. You know, and getting the verbal. And it does start off with verbal abuse. It don't start off with physical abuse. It starts off with verbal abuse. And it takes a person that has a faith in God, and I have to say that because that's the only thing that got me out of it. And they called me, you know, when I went to the battered woman shelter seeking help, they said I was a success case. I don't call myself a success case. I just said I asked God to help me, give me the strength to get away out of this relationship. You know, and they said that I was, because many women stay due to financial situations and this, that, and the other. And I ain't had no money when I left. I didn't have nothing. I just went, took my car, took a little bit of money out of the bank, and I said, Lord God, wherever this vehicle runs out of gas at, on the highway, that's where I'm starting a new life at for me and my unborn child at the time. And it said, ran out of gas in the little state of North Carolina, little country town, you know. And that's where I started a new beginning and a new life. So I started going to battered women's shelter and talking to women and telling them that, look, you know what, your life is more important than anybody else telling you that you're no good, that you got to do this and you have to do that. I know y'all afraid, you know, and I know the first thing you say, you think you can't make it out here because you need that man because he's the provider, he's providing most of the money, or you got kids by him, this, that, or the other. But do you want to live or do you want to die? And that's the decision I had to make. And I was ready to die, y'all. And that's what I said to them. I was ready to die. I was ready, Lord, take me to heaven. This got to be better than what I've been living in for 15 years with this person here. And God woke me up that morning, and he said, you ain't dying. What you're going to do is go to the bank, pull out $2,000, fill your car up, and you're going to hit the road, and you're going to keep on going. And wherever you run out of gas, that's where you and your child will start a new life in. And that's what happened to me. And I tell people all the time this, you know. I say, you know what? You still need counseling. Because if you've been in an abusive relationship, and I agree with you, there are men. I've met men on my crusade of talking to people, you know, about abusive relationships, battered women, battered men. There are men that's in abusive relationships with women. And usually they're smaller men that's dating big women, and they don't want to, you know, they're afraid to actually fight this woman back because they're afraid they're going to go to jail. And I tell them in a minute, too, that's your body. Your body belongs to God. God would want no one to harm that temple of yours. So you get out of there. If that person can't show you respect like you said, and that person can't treat you the way you want to be treated and the way you would treat them, then you get yourself out of it. You be strong enough to get yourself out of it because it's not the end of the world for you. It's just a new beginning of life. And that doesn't make you less than a man if it has happened to you. What makes you less than a man is if you sit there and you keep taking it.
Yeah.
So I talk to the men the same way, you know. And like I said, my thing is, I tell everybody, get counseling, because if you don't get no counseling, you will verbally or eventually physically go out there and harm somebody else, and you don't even realize you're doing it. And that saying that Brother James said, that's a true saying. I told him about that saying. I told him, hurt people, because I told him one time, get you some help. Even though you're going through seeing counseling, you still need to go see people if you feel as though, because sometimes you can say words to people that can hurt people now and not realize that you're doing it because you've been hurt. So if you're not seeking that counseling for yourself also, then you're not going to stop being abusive to somebody else, even if it's verbally, because you're hurt, because your self-esteem could be so low that you think that everybody's trying to attack you. And that's what happens to people who've been in abusive relationships or who have abused themselves. Because like he said, you know, he basically abused himself all his life. So that's a guilt and stuff that he's living with within himself. And I've met people like that, too. And when they feel that kind of guilt, they want to blame every time something negative happens, blame it on something else in the world. And it ain't nobody in the world.
Yep.
It'd be just you yourself. You know, you yourself did not get the proper therapy and counseling that you needed to deal with the fact that you abused yourself. And because I abused myself,
yep,
now when I get angry, I'm going to lash out at everybody else. And then 3 or 4 days later, now I'm sorry for what I've done. But guess what? You can't take back with words sometimes. You can't take back putting your hands on people sometimes, you know? That's why I tell anybody, get help. Because I've been there. And if I hadn't gotten a counselor, if I hadn't got what I got from that battered woman's shelter, I probably would have been an abusive my person myself. I probably would have. But I got the help, and I seen these women, and I saw I didn't like how I was being treated. Why in the world would I treat anybody else like that? Why?
True.
It's not in my nature. It's not in my character. And I turned off, believe me, I became cold to the world for a while. It was just me and my baby. That's all I cared. I'm protecting me and my child. That's the mind frame I was in. And then when I got through the counselings and the sessions and going there talking to the other women and the men that even came in and stuff, I realized, wow, That ain't me. I don't want to hurt anybody because I didn't like what was happening to me. And I don't like hearing about it when I see it on the news, when I hear about it, and it's happening out here every day. It really is happening out here, like you said, every day. And people are scared because they think they need that person. No, you need yourself. You need yourself because the creator of this universe created you just like they created that person. And if that person want to be abused and abuse you, then get away from them. Leave them alone. I don't care if they're your mother, father, sister, brother, husband, wife. I don't, leave them alone. Because you are not responsible for anybody but you. And then you can help people, other people down the line. So I love the show. I love the topic. It's definitely one I'm very familiar with. I didn't know what it was, like I said, because when I tuned in around 8 o'clock, 8:10, 8:12, something like that, it just kept playing music. So I didn't, I'm like, so I just got off, and I just kind of jumped back on and just was kind of listening, and I figured that must be the topic of the show is about abuses tonight. And like I said, Brother Jesse, you made some great comments. I mean, you really did, and you gave some great illustrations and examples, and it's a wonderful show that you've done. So that's all I wanted to say right now. I'm glad you finally picked my mic up because I kept pushing one. I was like, oh, don't let it happen again because it happened on one other show where I couldn't get in.
Hello, sister, before you leave, I'd love for you to do something because those who is listening on the show.
Wait. You breaking up, Brother Jess. What'd you say?
You can hear me now?
Brother Jess?
Yes, you can hear me?
Yeah, I hear you now. You broke up.
Yeah, I was saying could you do a favor and for those who may be listening to the show who don't understand the importance of the counseling what you're talking about, could you give an idea or, you know, some illustration on what they do to help? Because you know, you may be saying go to counseling, but, you know, they're just hearing the word counseling, but they don't know the importance of it.
Right. Yes, I can. I can do that before I go. Like I said, when it happened to me and I was going there and they called me a success case, I did not see myself that way. Me. Why? Because my self-esteem was low. I just came out of a 15-year marriage. I just left my husband. I left my husband. And I'm carrying his child. So I did not see me being that success case. But the more I hung around and the more I came and I listened to the other people, the other women talking, the men that was in there that had talked about them being in an abusive relationship, some of them went back. In fact, one girl went back, and 2 weeks later her husband came into the house while she was asleep, and she had two kids by this man. And he took out a shotgun and killed her right in front of the kids. Just shot her up, just killed her, you know. And I had just spoke to her probably 3 days prior to that. And she was a young girl. She was younger than me, maybe I'm going to say 10 years younger than me. And she, you know, she didn't actually let him move back in, but she got back into the relationship with him. And I said to her, I said, you're a beautiful lady. You got a job. You're independent. You know, you have your own place. I said, don't take him back for no reason whatsoever. I know he's the father of your kids, but don't take him back because if he is still in any way talking to you harshly, even if it's not as harsh as he was before, but it's still in his tone of his voice, that's a red flag right there. Because a person that realized they've done something wrong and they hurt you, if they truly, as you said earlier, Brother Jesse, they truly respect you and respect yourself, they're not going to do anything to hurt you. When you bring it to their attention, they're going to change that right then and there. But if they don't have that respect for you nor their self, they're not going to make that change. And this brother ended up killing this girl, you know? So, you know, and the thing I said is she did not continue to come to the session. The counseling, getting the counseling. And like I said, 3 weeks later, you know, that's what happened. So I think it's very important that people get it because, like I said, I have been there. And had it not been me continuing to go, that was on my own, continuing to realize, you know what, I don't want to stay sheltered. I don't want to stay secluded in my house all the time or afraid to go outside and afraid to really be sociable with people. I don't want to do that. So I continue to go to all of the meetings, and I continue to go to, and they're really simple little things. There are a bunch of people that's gone through the same thing that you're going through, or even worse. You hear some situations that's even worse, you know? And you sit back and all of y'all are sitting there and you're feeling that hurt. You're feeling that self-esteem that needs to be built back up. So you're like a club that's building each other up again. And you can go out and then you can walk out there and say, you know what, this is not who I am. It's not who I want to be. And I don't want to hurt anybody else. I never want to take anybody through what I went through. And you can almost, I'm not even going to say almost, that's not true. It didn't happen to me. You can always see the signs of someone else in an abusive relationship. You can always see it. When you run across somebody, just listening to them. You made a comment earlier, like I said, when I did finally get in, I was just listening to everything you said. When you can listen to people sometimes and see the kind of people they hang with, their friends, you know, the kind of type of people that they're dealing with, the person they're involved in the relationship, that right there can tell you if that person is in an abusive relationship.
That's true. That's so true, sister.
Yeah, and that's what those meetings do. They give you those signs of looking up for those red flags so you don't get yourself back into them and you can help prevent somebody else from getting into them. That's what they do. And it's nothing to be ashamed about. Nothing to be ashamed about. It's nothing to say, I don't need the help, because you do. Like I said, everybody that's been in abuse, you need the help, because your self-esteem is gone down. You're starting to feel guilty. You thinking everything was your fault. You know, what could I have done differently? Could this person have loved me better if I had done this? It ain't never your fault. The only fault you had in it was that you loved that person and you wanted that person to love you back, but they can't love you back because they are an abusive person and they need help and they can't get the help as long as you stay in there and continuing to allow them to abuse you. If that makes any kind of sense at all, you know? So. Hello? You still there?
Yeah, that is true, sister. That is true. All right.
And they even have these hotlines, you know? If people don't even want to go right now, because some people are afraid to come to some of the meetings, and they're at closed house places. You don't even know where they are. Only people that know where they are is the person that's going to seek the help. The abusers don't know where they are, no one else, because they tell you off the bat, don't tell any friends, don't tell anybody you're coming here, because it's people that are in abusive situations, and the abusers could be still out there trying to find them. So even if you don't start off going to any of those sessions, just call into the hotline and talk to someone. And then when you talk to someone, then you're going to say, wow, I need to go in. I need to find out, because that's our human nature. As we are curious to know, I got to find out really if this is, because I like what I'm hearing on the phone. Because that's how it started with me. Like I said, I didn't just jump right on into it. I just left. And when I left, I got me an apartment, and then I got on the phone, and I heard about this place called the Harvard House, and that's what it was for. And after talking to the people two or three times on the phone, I just started going in. And like I said, they called me a success case, and I did not see that. All I saw was, hey, I'm here, and I'm pregnant, and I left my husband, and I'm scared to death. And I need to know who I am, you know? And they helped me.
Thank you very much.
So with that, I'm going to rest my mic right now.
Thank you very much. I'm sure there's a lot of them out there who heard your voice. Appreciate it. And they have a better idea how to go about and moving forward on getting that help. I'm going to open up another line here, 9029.
Yes, I was on earlier, but I messed around and hung my phone up. But I was listening to Sister Rhonda, and I'm in 100% agreement with her, you know, because for three straight years, I thought that I was in this counseling every single day, you know, 3 hours a day. First hour, substance abuse. Second hour, anger management. Third hour, depression. I'm still in this. I'm still receiving this counseling. So therefore, I'm still learning myself. And I even see a one-on-one therapist for my anger, in which it's been determined that my anger issues is triggered, and this is the kicker for me, it's triggered by certain comments. Certain comments. And what they told me was that nobody knows me better than me. So how can somebody else tell me about myself? And, you know, I'm the type, I can't stand to be falsely accused. That's a trigger for me. That's a trigger for me. So, I mean, and, you know, and that counselor that Sister Rhonda was talking about, it really does help. It works if you work it. And for the past 3 years, 9 months, I've been working it, but I still have my triggers, in which everybody has their triggers. Everybody. And as far as my one-on-one anger management goes, they's about ready to close my case, but I don't want them to. I don't want them to close my case for the simple fact I'm going to have that issue for the rest of my life. I don't know if anybody believe in the zodiac system, but I'm a Gemini. We have that split personality. And my split personality will come out. It will come out. And I'm the first one to tell you this. And that's part of my anger issues. And you know, as far as me abusing myself, when I meant I was abusing myself, it was with the drugs and the alcohol. I abused my body with the drugs and the alcohol. And the verbal abuse came in when I was told, you're never going to amount to nothing. You're never going to be, excuse my French, my language, because I try not to curse, you're never going to be shit. You're going to be in the dumps all your life. Things like that. And now that I'm in, now that I've become the man that I've become today, when I hear those kind of splurges, it takes me back. It takes me back. It's a reminder. That's the kind of stuff I left behind. I don't want to hear that no more. The comments I would want today is that you're doing good for yourself. Your life is really shaping up. And I tell myself every day, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. You've come a long way, and don't look back, you know. But everything that Sister Rhonda was saying is absolutely true, and especially about the counseling part. It really does work. And I feel like that for as long as I live, as long as God directs me for the rest of my life, I'll keep going to those counseling sessions. Yeah, I've been cut back to 2 days a week, but voluntarily, I can go every day if I wanted to. And if I feel the need that I need to go every day, I will go every day. But that counseling really, and mind you, every last one of my counselors has been abused. They've been abused in some form or fashion. That makes it a lot easier for me to talk to them. That, and also it makes it a lot easier for them to understand what I went through. So with that, I rest my mic.
Hello.
Thank you very. Hello. Yeah. Thank you very much, brother. That was very powerful. No, and that was very well needed for those out there who are going through the same exact thing. You know, that information is much needed, so they can know that there is light at the end of the tunnel. Because a lot of people believe there's nothing else there, and this is just where they stand. And you know, I really appreciate what you say, because when you said people need to hear you're doing better, you know, you're doing good, and this is something that society lacks. I don't know if they're just ignorant to that, but society lacks it a lot. Most of the time, they're like, oh, don't look back, don't do this, don't. It's always what don't do. Let's start being more positive energy. Let's drop the negative. We don't know the negative is there. That's the reason why I'm here. So let's start giving me the positive. Let me know how. What's this next step? How am I doing better? How do I progress? Tell me how I'm doing much better. How am I improving?
But I'm going to open up another line. I see it's another question. But before that, I'm going to say it again. You can call in at 914-803-4571. That's 914-803-4571. Or you can leave inbox in the chat box any questions or comments. Line 2872 is open.
Is somebody dialing? Do you hear somebody dialing?
Yes, I hear.
Yes, I hear somebody dialing too. What is?
All right. Let me make. Okay, I just muted. All right, brother, you there?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I just muted all the mics. I wasn't sure who it was.
Okay, excellent. This is an excellent program, Brother Jess. I tell you, when I heard you playing the music, I say, Brother Jess must have been all in my head today, because I was sure thinking about having the show and discussing music and, you know, how what the singer was talking about and how you related. So I say, this brother must have been all up in my head. What in the world is going on? So good job, because this is something that is definitely needed, and especially, you know, talking about abuse. But one thing that I heard Brother James say, and I want to just talk about that part a little bit, because I myself, when I was in the military, I went through anger management and all that stuff. But this is something, and I teach my children, because they say this: well, that person made me mad, and that's why I went and did what I did. And I say, okay, well, since that person made you mad and made you do what you did, then that person is a god to you. You know, when I first hit them with that, they was like, what in the world are you talking about? You know, and they look at me puzzling, and I'm like, yeah, is that person a god to you? And they're like, no. I said, well, then why would you let some person make you do something? Why would you give some person more power over you than you have? Why would you do that? What makes them that so much better than you, that you will lay down your own self-will, your own self-control, and let them do whatever that they want to say and make you act a fool, and then you take the punishment for it. And, you know, and they look at me like, well, I didn't think about it like that. But that's exactly what it is. Because a person said a word to you, and that person is so much powerful that word that they said make you go off and act foolish. I said, if that person eat, will you be hungry? Will you be full because that person ate their meal and you didn't eat anything? And they're like, no, sir, I will still be hungry. All right, then. You got to realize, as we're taught in the Quran, it says, weak is the invoker and weak is the invoked. What can they do?
Yes.
What can they do? I say, you know, if a gnat or anything smaller, took a morsel of bread off their plate, they don't have the power to call the gnat back to bring it back. So what do you look like? What do you look like? Falling to the ground for some words, some chunk. What do you look like? So I say, you have to rise up into the knowledge of who you are, who your creator gave you and made for you, so you don't have to act foolish and do stupid stuff when stupid people react. God gave us force and power. Why would you give it to somebody else? If God is real, and he made you into that, why would you submit to something that you're unworthy to submit to? And so once the children begin to understand that and buy into that and live that, people could say anything. and my children just start laughing and ignore them. Because in truth, nobody has that kind of power over us unless we give it. And, you know, I just see that there's nobody that special that they should have that kind of power and control over our lives. That is just not there. I don't give a damn. You know, my son told me one day, he said, but the white boy called me a nigger. I said, okay, he called you a nigger. I said, well, then if you wanted to fight him, then why didn't you say, well, if you see a nigger, slap a nigger. I said, and that way, if he was real, he'll come over there and try to slap you, and then you wear that. You know, you do that. You gotta be a thinker, son. You gotta be a thinker. And if you don't be a thinker, people will always control you because you run off emotion.
Yeah.
So I say that you gotta be able to maneuver people. And if you can't maneuver them, they gonna always maneuver you. And you gonna be their sucker. You gonna be their toy. And God didn't make you here for that. You know, so he got it now. He got it now. And, you know, that's a skill that we have to learn and we have to buy into, because truly that's our power that we've given away to people who is unworthy to tie our shoes. And with that, I rest my mind.
How as all the time.
Go ahead.
I hope everybody got that, if y'all still listening to my mic too. Wow.
That was, you know what, brother, I mean, I never even thought about that before, but that's a good one there. You know, if the person do feel that way, if you see one, slap them, and that there could really show the true colors. You know, because sometimes people say stuff, but are they going to actually step into what they're saying? So that is very true what you're saying there. And I really, really appreciate, you know, everything that you said about it, because we do have to start obtaining. That's why I say you have to love yourself. You have to deal with self, embed that in your mind, in your DNA, in your blood, and then it can shine without for others to respect. Even those who don't respect you, still, at least you have self-mastery, self-control over your own self, because the Creator didn't create you to be a puppet master for another human being. So that is so true what you say, brother. We really appreciate that. I sure all the listening viewers appreciate that contribution and that true story. And this was all about stuff that could touch people's lives, that they actually could use and help better themselves. Like I said, anybody else may want to call, you can call 914-803-4571, or you can inbox inside the chat box your questions or any comments. Definitely will be answered. If anybody else, all the lines are open up, and anybody else that may want to say something, you're able to.
Yes, sir. I have one quick comment. Like the brother said, we have to definitely, you know, take control of our own lives and not let anyone else control us, what we do, what we say, what we think, et cetera. I also feel that what is missing definitely in our lives, and I'm learning that more and more every day, to put God slash your creator in your life. So therefore, people are going to disappoint us. I don't care who you are, what you are, where you're from.
Right.
We're going to get disappointed. We're going to get out of feelings hurt here and there. That's just a true fact of life. So we have to learn to put God at the first and foremost in our life. So when things happen, we can always trust Him, run right up back to Him. And, of course, He will give us the ammunition. He will give us what it takes to rebuild, to have that energy, and to push on. So I'm learning that more every day. Whatever you like to read, they give you positivity. They give you a sense of growth. They give you a sense of you know, want to do better or feel better about yourself, then do that with some, definitely with people with like minds. And like I say, read the material. Listen to things that are going to inspire you so that you can keep pushing on. Because life is part of trials. I don't care who you are, we're going to have trials. They come up in our life. Where people hurt us, there will be death. There will be sometimes loss of life. There will be a loss of property. You may not can pay a bill. You know, it's going to be some things that come. But if we have a foundation and a creator, then we can overcome that. We won't get all down and out. We'll be successful. So I would say to anybody, put God first and foremost. Lord knows I'm speaking the truth. I'm learning that more and more each day. So therefore, when you get the difficulties or when people come at you the wrong way, you'll be able to handle it in a way that you've never handled it before. And with that, I rest my mind. Peace and love.
And that is so true, you know, because when Brother Maurice came out and asked his kids, are they God? You know, that was exactly how I felt. Like I said, when I was leaving my husband, when I fell on my knees that night, it was just me, myself, and God in that bathroom. And I knew he wasn't God. I said, no, ain't no way, God, you would allow me to continue to go through this. And I know I stayed as long as I did because, you know, I was immersed. I was, you know, I was obligated. I felt, okay, I made a vow to sickness, to health, to death do us part. But God, I'm not, you know, if you're ready for me to die now, then I'm ready to die. Take my life. I'm ready to go to heaven. I was talking to God. I wasn't looking at my husband as being my God. So Brother Maurice had such a great point there, you know, and so do you. And that's why I say to people out here, you can get out of it. Just remember who you are, you know. And then when you do, get that help. Get that counseling because you're going to need it. You're going to need it to be like I am now, a soldier, a warrior. I can see the signs now. So when they come, I'm kind of gentle to people. I'm like, you know what? You know, maybe you want to rethink that situation there or that you know, that person that you're talking to or you know, whatever, because I'm very straightforward and outspoken with people, but in a kind of gentle way. But I will not see anybody be abused. If I know about it and I hear about it, I won't allow it to happen. If I have to pick up the phone myself and call the authorities and say, hey, can you look into this situation for me because, you know it's happening, the person is scared, I don't have a problem doing it because that's my job now because I've been through it and God brought me through it. You see what I'm saying? Because I was in that bathroom and did exactly what Brother Maurice said that he said to his kids. Are they your God? Why would you let anybody do anything to you? Are they God? Just because they're hungry, are you hungry? Because, you know, I had to start thinking about that. I got to leave this man. Regardless of what my wedding vows have said to me all these years, he is not my God. So, God, I'm ready to go to heaven. And God woke me up that morning, and it's clear as day. I told you I'm hard-headed, so he got to give me a sign. And the sign was, boom, jumped up. Took him to work, go to the bank, take a couple $1,000s out, hit the road, you and that baby going to be okay. And by the glory of God, we've been okay ever since. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. You know?
Yeah,
and it was
all
through. It was all through when I realized this man is not my God. He's just a husband that I married and stayed true and honest to because I thought this is what God wants. But it wasn't what God wants because there's no way God wants you to be abused or like that. No.
Mm-mm.
That's why I say his pops, he always gets me to love Maurice. He comes out with things I be thinking, too. I just can't put them in the words he put them in, you know. But,
I'm serious.
You know, yeah, but it's powerful, you know, but that's how I felt tonight. I fell on my knees. That's exactly I did not see my husband as God. I saw him as an enemy, as it was trying to destroy me. And I said, God, I'm ready to go to heaven. And God was like, no, you're not. I'm not ready to take you right now. And now I see why. Like you said, later on down the line, Sister Pamela, you said this yourself. You're learning every day. You see it every day as you go through life. Now I understand why I went through that situation. Now I see why I went through this situation. Now I see it's the way I have to control what you're showing me, Lord God, to be able to help someone else or a whole, I don't like to say someone, I like to say to help people out here, you know?
Yes.
And okay. I'm no different than I'm no different than anyone else. I'm still his child. And every day I'm learning too. You know what I'm saying? But I know that I know more. I got more of that closeness relationship, you know, with him than I ever did before. And I never let go of him, even in my marriage. And I went through it all, and I still didn't let go of God. I said, okay, God, you know, you know this is happening. You know this is happening. You know how much I can take. You know how much I can be.
And I
just kept saying those things to myself. If I don't get out of this, this man's going to kill me. He's already said he's going to do it. I'm going to make sure there ain't no other thing going to ever want you.
Hello?
Yeah,
I want to... That is true and about you saying, sister. And thanks a lot again for that enlightenment. And a lot of us have to be able to overcome things and know that we are in control of our situation, and let's try to love ourselves first and always remember that. And one of the things that I just thought about, kind of close related to what the brother said, Brother Maurice, you know, him taking that initiative step to embed in his child life that the other person is not their God stops a generation curse. Because what if his child felt that those people had the power over them? Then his child, have a child, and that child feels the same way. See, because a trace of learn passed on in the DNA. So now this is going down. And then this family lineage cannot even live its full potential or its purpose because it's fighting against other people controlling its life. So a lot of us may help grandma or mothers who have been in a situation that's not that well or the condition is not good to be in, and we pass down to us, and we got to fight the same condition, and we don't even have a chance to live well, we was born to live until we actually overcome that, and probably to our children, they're able to live who they truly are, not have to accept or be a part of that situation where we being fighting, our mother being fighting, our grandmother being fighting. So we need to be the one to break that curse, to break that. So when you break that curse and you have your children, you know how to teach them. So they don't have to go through that same curse anymore. So then when their children come in place, that way their children are able to live their full purpose versus fighting a curse that was cast on us. So that's very important, but Brother Maurice did. You know, that's just not something that he did on a mental scale, but that's something that he did on a generation scale. Yeah, you know, he just altered that child's life for the best. You know what I'm saying? I'm not sure how far or how deep Brother Maurice thought he went with that. I hope he didn't think that was just some words he said to that child, but that's just not even for a time period in the daytime, but that was for a generation, a lifetime of a generation to come on and on and on and on, that he broke that curse. You know, because a lot of us are underneath that, and that was I'm so happy to hear what he said, because a lot of us need to hear that. You know, because a lot of us do give people power over ourselves. And we need to start breaking that curse, you know, break that stronghold that we allow people to hover over us. So when someone says this, or if someone talk about our mother, or someone talk about it, we ready to act the fool. And then at the end of the day, when we behind bars and in handcuffs, we wish we never did it. So we just save, literally save his child's life. And not only his child's life, his children's life. He saved. And as he keep installing those positive, great principles, he just altering his children, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren for the betterment just to his one child or his two kids, however many children he may have. He's installing these qualities in. So that's an excellent thing that he did. And I encourage anyone who have the ability or say over someone to do the exact same thing. You know, so things like that shouldn't be taken lightly. You know what I'm saying? So, especially with men, how they say, you know, men don't do too much, or it's just a woman. At least he's taking initiative to do that. So I really appreciate him saying that and him actually taking that act, you know, taking that action, not saying that he got upset. Man, why would you let someone do that to you? He used wisdom.
Yes.
Right.
He used wisdom.
Right.
Because he knew if he probably would have acted a fool, the child may never understand. But he put the child in a set where the child think for self
and realize, wait a minute, that ain't my God. So, see, what a lot of us do wrong with our children, we like to just tell them what to do, and that's it. What if Moses said, you know what, just let no one do that to you. That child would have always have that situation repeated because the child never had a chance to use his own intelligence. See, what Maurice, if he'd have said, just don't do it, what he would have done is give information. But because he didn't just say that, just do it, he put a scenario in front of the child. And what happens is that when you put a scenario like that, you cause the intelligence to come out. And what is the intelligence? It's when you have a scenario information, your common sense kick in place, which then creates intelligence. The child knew, okay, wait a minute. They ain't my God. This ain't about my father just telling me don't let it happen. It's about what I know that shouldn't happen. So now the child have a lifetime of wisdom installed in them to a mind and then walk and live that road. So that child is light years ahead of Maurice right now, as far as that concerned. And whatever other wisdom he's installed in that child is way light years ahead because he got more time to grow in wisdom that the child's getting from their father. So we all need to do the same thing and encourage, even if it ain't our child. We see some of that child, you know, just, you know, show them some jewels and let them know, hey, I've been through it. You know, I know it hurts, but don't let no one control it. Don't let no one, you know, tell you what to do. So these things, you know, they're depending on us. We have to overcome these stuff so we can help save the next generation. And, you know, our time is really winding down, but I wanted to say earlier that, you know, when we deal with relationships, you know, a lot of times we're supposed to be allowing ourselves to better because we see ourselves a whole lot better from the outside expression. So we have a mate. All we're doing is learning ourselves. So if you're a female, right, you have the most other expression of the feminine energy because you're a female. If you're a male, you have the most other expression of the masculine energy. So being that may be, as a female, when we meet the right person, I say when we meet someone, when we meet the right person, they allow us, as a female, that allow the female to learn more about her masculine energy for balance. As a male, they allow us to learn more about our feminine energy to be able to balance us. So we actually be able to coexist with each other because there's some things, you know, whether us men will be macho or bigger or not, there's some things we just not good in. The females are better. Definitely one of those is structuring stuff. You see, I'm putting things together. Females are the one who pretty much structure stuff and make sure everything is in order. I'm not saying no man can't do it, but normally female have this key or this intuition of, hey, this need to be this need to happen. We need to do this, we need to do that. Most of the time, you know, man is more that, if it happens, it happens, and, you know, we ain't checking too much. So each of us have our special role that we learn and grow and develop from each other, but we got to find that person that has already developed and have that understanding and that caring approach, you know, have that installment that have Maurice installed inside their child. Hopefully their parents install it in them, so we ain't got to worry about them acting the fool, you know, or later on something goes wrong. Anybody else, you know, I leave the line open to y'all guys if y'all have anything else to say before we actually close out.
No, I don't have anything else to say. Just like I said, people, please, if you know anyone or if you are in a situation like that and you know that it's wrong, you don't like how it feels, don't hesitate to call the hotline. You know, everything is, you know, is kept secret. No one knows, you know, anything that you're telling them. And just you know, hear the people out. And then from there, that's going to push you into wanting to actually go and meet with these people because you want out of the situation. And when we want out of something, we want to find a way to get out of it. So I just encourage anyone, if you, you know, if you're in that situation or you know someone, you know, refer them to the place. Refer them to a hotline first. That's usually how most people start because in the world, society we live in today, people don't want to just walk into a place of people that they don't know. They'd rather get on the phone first and check it out and see what they're hearing and if what they're hearing can really be of help to them.
So that would be the most thing I would encourage any and everybody in those kind of situations.
All right, Brother Maurice, you know, was there any question probably the Google line if you had access to that or not? I definitely didn't see that in the chat box, really. If we have any more time, probably to answer this, any?
I'm still driving home, so I'm quite sure there is. I just don't have access.
Okay, that's no problem. Brother James, do you have anything before we close out you want to say?
Yes, before you close, I just want to thank Brother Maurice for that experience, strength, and hope that he gave. And, you know, now I'm, and I encourage everyone that if somebody tell you can't, or you tell yourself you can, you know, if somebody's trying to tear you down, believe that God is building you up. And that's what I tell myself. I tell myself I can. Like Sister Rhonda said a few months ago on the radio show, like the little engine, I think I can. Well, me, I know I can. And I encourage everyone just tell themselves, I know I can. And, you know, I didn't think that I could ever become a motivational speaker. And within the next year, I have my license, you know. And it's all because, I'm doing positive stuff and I'm working on myself. I'm working on myself now. And yeah, Brother Maurice, you were right. I were allowing people to have that power. I was allowing people to have that power. I wasn't giving it to them, but I was allowing them to take it. But no more. Mm-hmm. You know, I tell myself every morning in the mirror, I am somebody.
Yes,
and I encourage everybody to do the same. Look in the mirror. When you look in that mirror, you tell yourself, I am somebody. God created a real person of his own image.
That's right.
That I rest my mic.
Yes, brother, you are, and do never forget that. And we lost this time, but Brother Maurice, any last words before we close up?
I'd just like to say thank you, Brother Jess, for taking the mantle and stepping up and having a program, and a wonderful program at that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm quite sure there'll be a lot of people listening to this on demand. This was a very excellent program, and I thank everybody for tuning in and dropping your wisdom, your knowledge, your love, because at the end of the day, the work we do to save our people, to save people, period, regardless, you listen and you buy into this truth that we're giving you. We ain't selling it to you. We're giving it to you. To help you change the condition of the realities in which you face and trust and believe the stuff that we're telling you, we know it works because we live it. We live it. And, you know, I love you all. Trust and believe, I love you all, and I thank you. And peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings. Peace and blessings.
And wait. I want to say before we close out is that I love what Brother Marie said. One of his last words was, I love you all. We need to start saying that a whole lot more. Whether if you're male, senator or male, it doesn't matter. We know you're not.
That's right.
Standing no funny stuff. You know what I'm saying? So a man needs to learn how to tell another man he loves him. You see what
That's
I'm saying?
Right.
Because
yeah.
We all need to support each other. And I know a lot of times men think that's being weak. That's not. It's actually being strong.
Right.
You know, and I had to learn that myself. You know, when I met someone who cared enough that when he saw that I was struggling with my mental and my spiritual life, he cared enough to help me to rise up and to be a man and to be someone to know that I'm somebody in life. You know, give me certain wisdom, you know, tell me read this, read that. And one day he stood up, he hugged me, and he told me he loved me. I ain't gonna lie, first screen just helped. But I felt the love. I felt the genuine love. And he didn't only just say he loved me. He showed it by taking the time out and teach me the right stuff. So if we can help each other, you know, tell them that we love them, whether you're a man or a woman, we need to start doing that more. And I think the more us men able to be men and show other men that how to tell men they love them, to let them know that they're somebody, then the better this world will be. So I'm going to close out on that. I just want to thank everybody again for, you know, coming to the show. And this was excellent. This was awesome. You know, I felt the love.
And I just want to thank everyone again for just being there and contributing. Peace and blessings.
Yes. Yeah. Peace, blessings, and love to you guys. Yes.
Good night, everybody.
Yep. Good night.